Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 2. And as we've already mentioned, this week's lesson will be on the March of the Wise Men. Appreciate my wife letting us put out her wise men here. I, of course, was the model for them. What are you laughing about? Shall we stand together? Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, we'll read verse 1 and 2 as our introductory verses. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the Great, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much that you came. And Lord, we don't know about the star, if it was just during that time that it showed, or if it is still one that is available to be seen today, but we are glad for those that followed it. But Lord, we are thankful for those that follow the Word of God. We thankful, Lord, that you are the light of the world and that you light our lives. We ask now you would bless this service for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We have heard this story almost to the point that probably any of you could be called upon to come up and to give today's sermon. It's not new to us. We've all heard of the wise men. We have to, though, in our mind's eye, think back to that period of time. Now, my Bible has dates, and your Bible may have dates, too, as for when things occurred. My Bible has B.C. 4. Now you say, well, how could this be 4 years before Christ? Well, probably because the dating system was just a tad off when they began to do the dating, and they were off by about 4 or 5 years. But can you imagine what things were like in that period of time? When you traveled, you didn't get into your car, start the ignition, back out of your driveway, and head down the road. Aren't you glad for your cars? Tell you what, my wife and I have purchased a new stove for our house. It's the first new stove we have purchased probably in 30 years. And so we purchased a new one. This one's a gas range, gas stove. And we haven't had a gas one since Donna was pregnant with Matthew some 40-some years ago when she lit herself on fire with a gas stove. And it's amazing, and I wasn't there. I'm glad for that. But as her blouse, kimono, muumuu, what was it called? A muumuu. You know, she was pregnant. As it lit, she had something in her hand, and she just went foof, and the fire went off her blouse. Of course, she could never wear that again. She never forgot it, but she has finally gotten over the fear of using a gas range. Of course, I haven't touched it yet, but that's all right. But, you know, aren't you glad that you have gas stoves or electric stoves? Aren't you glad that when we came in here, you didn't have to each bring in your own candle? Aren't you glad for the electricity that we have here? Things were different. They were much different. They saw a star. When was the last time you actually went outside on purpose to look at the stars? You know, we remember just a few months ago when they were talking about the blood moons. And you may have gone outside for about, what, 5 minutes? You know, how long are you going to look at the stars or the moons when inside there's television? or their computers, or your phones with everything imaginable on those things. But back then, stars were watched because people were outside a lot more than they are today. But I want you to ponder, how many of you have watched this year It's a Wonderful Life? Any of you? Some of you watch it every year. How many of you have never seen Jimmy Stewart in the movie It's a Wonderful Life? Would you raise your hand? I see one, two, three people. You've never seen A Wonderful Life. Probably because it's in black and white, right? But you know, that movie came out shortly after World War II. People knew what was happening in that movie a little bit more than what we do today. In the movie, of course, there was the talk of people coming back from the war, and we don't think about that today. But the story of the wise men coming looking for Christ is still as needful as it was then. Because wise men still need to seek the Lord. In the song, the choir sang March of the Wise Men by Ron Hamilton. Verse 1 says, wise men journeyed from afar, led to Jesus by the star, bearing incense, myrrh, and gold for the Christ whom barbs foretold. How far will we journey to learn of Christ? How far are we willing to go? How much of a sacrifice are we willing to make to learn of the Lord's Christ, as Paul Wuttke talked about, the Lord's Messiah? Wise men. If you look it up in a thesaurus, you'll find thinkers, philosophers. To be counted wise. That's a testimony to you, isn't it, if you are counted as being wise? Wise men still. You know, it's one thing to do one thing smart sometime, but to be continue in wisdom is a good thing. Wise men still seek. My dad said when I went off to college, this is one of the things he said. He said, learn all you can all you learn. In other words, learn all you can get. Never stop learning. I believe it's important that we keep our minds active. As we grow older, they encourage us to do things like word searches, or if they may encourage you to do jigsaw puzzles or crosswords or things like that, to keep our minds active. Now, activity doesn't mean sitting in front of a television. That's just entertainment in which we just watch and it puts us asleep. But to keep our minds active, but wise men still seek Him. The greatest knowledge one can have is that of our Creator, Lord, and King. Of all the things we can learn about in life, and there is so much, the greatest thing is that of Jesus Christ. But what are we to seek? We're to seek His will. We're to seek His purpose. We're to seek His glory. And may I encourage you to do this? We are to seek His return. I think it'd be great if the Lord returned before 2016. I think it'd be great if the Lord said, all right, I'm going home, or I'm going to earth, and I'm going to bring them home. Wouldn't you think that'd be great? I think it'd be marvelous. I have a 7-point sermon. 7 points. See, I've been told that if you have a 7-point sermon, you can't go wrong. Point number one, goals. Goals. Let's reread verses 1 and 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. We all have goals. I was talking to a person this morning, and they said their goal was to begin tomorrow to lose 10 pounds. Don't you think that's a good goal? I hope that he's able to accomplish it. We all have goals, we have aims, we have objectives, we have aspirations, things for which we strive to achieve. As 2016 begins, will you have a goal? You say, Pastor Paul, give us a goal. Thank you for asking. I think you should strive to be in church 52 Sundays a year. If you go on vacation, go to church while you're on vacation. If you're out of town because of one thing or another, find yourself a gospel preaching church and go to church on Sunday. Have a goal of being in church 52 Sundays. I don't want to go any further because that's next week's sermon. These goals may be spoken, these goals may be unspoken. For these men, be they 2 or 22 or 102, whatever, they had a goal, find the one for whom the star shined. They had a goal. Have a goal. And in that goal, have that goal to serve the Lord. Point number 2, the question. We find it in verse 2 saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? There is the question. Where is he? They thought if they went to Jerusalem, if they went to see Herod, he would have the answer. Point number 3 will be their response. If someone were to ask you, tell me about your God. Tell me of that one you serve. Tell me of that one you're counting on to save your soul. Would you be able to respond to them quickly? Or would you say, well, I tell you what, why don't I give you the phone number of our church? Or would you have the answer? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Point number 3, the response. See, there's a goal to find the one they can worship. The question is, where is he? We've traveled a great distance. We're almost there. Tell us where he is now. But here's the response beginning in verse 3. When When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, in all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. The king, Herod by name, was troubled. And when the king is troubled, who else is troubled? Everybody. The king had spent much of the past decades protecting his place of authority. History reports that he had executed 2 of his sons who he thought were trying to usurp his place. Can you imagine having 2 of your sons executed? We note in verse 4 that he gathered the chief priests and the scribes together to inquire about this so-called birth of a Jewish king. Even if their king had, or a young child had been born at that point in time, by the time he would have been old enough to be a king, Herod would have been what? Would have been long dead. The priests and scribes tell Herod that according to the prophet Micah, that the coming Messiah would be born in the village of Bethlehem. Herod, ever the politician, do you like politicians? There are good ones. Aren't you glad for the good ones? Absolutely. Herod acts like he is also interested, asking when the star appeared, and then sends them on their way to find this baby. He acted like he was really interested. He then asked them to return to tell him where he also could go and worship him. Do you think he really wanted to go and worship him? No. He unfortunately was ruled by the desire for power. And if power is not contained properly, it will corrupt. Point number 4, the star, verses 9 and 10. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The wise men had taken their eyes off the star once they arrived in Israel. And they went to where they thought Jesus would be found. But thank God for second chances. How many of you are glad for a second chance? May I say this? I heard the gospel for a number of years before I accepted him as Lord and Savior. Most of us do not accept Christ as Savior the very first time we hear the message. I'm glad for a second chance. I'm glad that as Jonah, who was given a second chance to go and do the Lord's will, I'm glad that we are given a second chance to make sure that we are doing the Lord's will. You know, all too often we get our eyes on ourselves and we say, this would make me happier, or this is what I want to do, without giving regard to what the Lord would have us do. We find that they found the star and rejoiced. How many of you think that star, that natal star, is still in the universe today? How many of you think that? None of you do. How many of you think it was a one-time phenomenon that the Lord caused a special light to be given out? How many of you believe that? The rest of you, you're like me. You don't know what to think, right? It could still be here or it could be gone. But whatever it was, these men from the east, from studying the scriptures, realized that this was a special star. And they followed it. They followed it. How many of you have ever seen a UFO? One. When I was a boy, this building had just been built, about 1965. So if I was born in 19, that's a long time ago. How many were born in the 19s? That's most of us. 1953 I was born, and so 1965 would have made me what? 12 years old. So I was old enough to know, right? Things? Would you agree with that, that I wasn't a Looney Tune? Kids were smarter back then, absolutely. But I walked out those glass doors. I walked out from underneath the carport, thank you. See, I was smarter back then. Carport. And as I walked past the carport, coming across the parking lot, was this gold ball with lights all over it. And it went across the parking lot and it went that way. God is my witness. I saw it. To this day, I don't know what it was. A weather balloon? I guess. Maybe it was going over to Selfridge. But you know, sometimes you see something and you don't know what to think of it. I still don't know what to think of it. It was just there for a few seconds. I have never forgotten it. In my mind, I still see it. These wise men who looked at the stars regularly saw this new light, this new phenomenon, and that not only was it there, it was moving. It was moving. And so they decided to follow it. Now, I don't know how quickly it would allow, they would take to follow, but do you think it was just three men that headed off from the east and coming towards Jerusalem? No. Three men, especially kings, with all that they would have brought in the way of their treasures and all that they would bring in the way of money to buy things along the way, they would not have traveled alone. They would have had escorts. They would have had guards. They would have had cooks. They would have had servants. Maybe family came with them. It could have been 100, 200, 300 people that were traveling together. And so when they arrived in Jerusalem, it would have made a great stirring. And the questions were asked. And they said, "We've seen his star, but we've taken our eyes off it." May I encourage you, keep your eyes on the Lord. There are many things that are trying to take our eyes off the Lord. And even today, our nation seems to be bent on removing Christianity from the public forum. But keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on Him. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced. Number 5 of 7. Worship. Verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped who? Him. Did they worship Mary? They did not worship Mary. Mary was simply a human used of God, highly favored. But she was not to be worshipped. They worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. The wise men entered the house. They came to see Jesus, and he was a young child. Some say maybe even 2 years old. And they fell down and worshiped him. And they gave their gifts. When we open our heart to Jesus, we will want to give to him. Can I tell you a secret? I love to give gifts to my wife. I love it. Sometimes it embarrasses her, but I love to give gifts to her. Why do I love to give gifts to her? Because I love her. I love her. You know, if we love our Lord Jesus Christ, we should want to give to him. And I think it's not just money that we're willing to give him. We're willing to give him time and effort because we'll give him ourselves. Point number 6 of 7. And go ahead, say amen. That's all right. Verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. We find here warning. Warning. The Bible is one big warning system. Right from the beginning to the very end, the Bible warns us against sin. It warns us against the enemy, the devil. and against the coming wrath of God. It's a warning. I say this with embarrassment, but so what? I'm only going to embarrass myself. Some of you may know that about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had a small fire in our house. Did you know that? We had a small fire. Lots of smoke. And if Donna had not come out from the bathroom into the kitchen and yelled, "Paul," it wasn't one of those Pauls like, "Paul, where did you put something?" It was, "Paul, get here quickly." I ran upstairs and there was a fire and we had to take care of it, and we did, and the house was full of smoke, and someone would say, "Well, what about your smoke detector?" Is that what you're asking? I'm embarrassed. I had taken it down because it needed a new battery. And you know where the smoke detector was? It was in the cabinet, waiting for a battery. What good was that smoke detector? It was of no value whatsoever. None. Now, may I say this? There is a smoke detector in the house now with a battery. What's a church, if it isn't preaching the gospel, what's its value? It has no value. The value of a church is to preach and teach Jesus Christ. I don't care how big the church is. I don't care what they may have in a way of a sound system, or if they are able to make one side of the building, you know, like your cars where you can put different temperatures, you know, for different people. And so one side of your building's warmer than the other side, so you all are comfortable instead of only 5 of you are comfortable. If you're not preaching and teaching Jesus Christ, you have no even reason to be in existence. We need to be warning people that there is coming danger, that the wrath of God will be put upon those that will not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. See, you can have whatever bumper sticker you want on the back of your car that says coexist, and it has all the symbols of every religion in the world. Folks, religion will not get us into heaven. There are lots of religions, but only Jesus Christ will get you into heaven. And we are to warn the lost, which leads us to number 7 of 7, is sin kills. What did Herod do to those that were 2 years and under? He massacred them. It was Satan's attempt to rid the world of our Savior. But see, the wise men had brought gold and frankincense and myrrh, and they were able to use the gold and sell the others so they could take their trip to Egypt. Because sin kills, but Jesus Christ gives life. And there's only life in Jesus Christ. Eternal life through Jesus Christ. Do you know Him as your Lord and Savior today? Have you accepted that unspeakable gift that Paul talked about to the church at Corinth? Thank God for that unspeakable gift. Shall we stand together? Number 17 is our song of invitation, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." Maybe this morning you'd like to come and pray and thanking God for that unspeakable gift. Maybe you'd like to come and pray about someone that needs that unspeakable gift, and you would like the opportunity to be that testimony. Maybe you'd just like to come and pray and say, "Lord, help me be a testimony for your love and for your cause to my family, to my coworkers, to those that need it." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day, for these that are here, for this invitation time. We ask, Lord, that your will would be done. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen.